This is Bowen Yang.
And Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers.
And Bowen Yang.
JBL wireless earbuds are for those who are the first to try something unique. The first wireless earbuds on the market with a touchscreen case, which allows you to control your audio without reaching for your phone. They also have a touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control. I love being able to touch my buds and control the volume. With a built-in wireless transmitter that lets you plug and play with any device you want, JBL wireless earbuds connect you to all your favorite music, movies, and games. JBL wireless earbuds. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To London, to Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the political economics column for the Journal editorial page, looking at the European Union and the choice of Ms. van der Leyen to continue as the president of the European Commission, which is the executive arm of the European Parliament. You will recall that recently the European Parliament had surprising votes, seeing the rise of numbers for parties associated with what is called in Europe the far right. At the same time, there was a decline in numbers for the parties associated with the left. Ms. van der Leyen, however, from Joe's presentation in his column, is continuing as if nothing changed. Puzzling. Joe, a very good evening to you. Nothing changed. That is true in numbers that I read once. It might be changing. There might be some details here at the numbers I've missed. But as I recall, the so-called center of the European Parliament has 400 seats, which overwhelms the far-right combinations. It's somewhere in the 150s. I don't remember all the numbers. However, the trend is to the right in Germany, in France, in Spain, in Italy, where they're in authority now. Giorgia Meloni represents a right-wing coalition. And we could say that other countries in Scandinavia are following the same path. But your column is reporting that Ms. van der Leyen does not see this, does not account for it, thinks it's going to go away. What is her opinion, Joe? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Well, I think that we're coming into the denial phase in Europe. You and I have talked before about the European Parliament elections that happened about a month ago now, where voters in the 27 countries that are part of the European Union elected a new parliament for the bloc, more than 700 seats. And listeners will remember that some of the big winners from that were parties on the political right. The largest bloc of seats in the European Parliament is now a group called the European People's Party, which is sort of the collection or umbrella movement for center-right political parties like Germany's Christian Democratic Union or Spain's People's Party. And then you also had victories among an insurgent right, parties like Marine Le Pen's National Rally in France. Giorgia Meloni's Brothers of Italy and their peers also did very well in this election. So it's true that sort of numerically parties of the center still could kind of hold a majority, but you have to ask yourself which center. And it's all of the action, all of the gains were coming from the center right, and then also this insurgent right a little further to the edge. And one of the first tasks that this parliament is going to have, which is where Ursula von der Leyen comes into this, is that they've got to approve the next president of the European Commission, which is this huge bureaucratic apparatus that operates out of a gleaming office tower in Brussels. That currently is Ursula von der Leyen's job, and she would like to get reappointed. And the question is, how is she going to cobble together enough votes in the parliament to do it? And her strategy, which is a real head scratcher based on what just happened in this election a month ago, is that she wants the same coalition of parties who elected her the last time. And so that was this European People's Party on the center right, but also a centrist slash center left group called Renew Europe, who are actually a bunch of pro-EU technocratic types, and then the socialist bloc on the center left. And she's hoping that these people will mainly support her. And in case there are some defections, she wants to couple up groups from the Green Party. And this is kind of crazy because most of these parties lost votes. So she's lost seats in this election. So von der Leyen is trying to put together a coalition of losers to get her over the edge. And the thing that was particularly unpopular in that election were a lot of green climate policies that the European Union has been pursuing. And she would find herself forced to double down on those to get support from green members of the European Parliament. So the story here is that they are so eager to freeze out the parties of the insurgent right that were winners in this election, that they are prepared to double down on precisely the policies that were so unpopular with the voters.
The puzzle that immediately comes to mind is why? What is the motive for ignoring change in your own parliament? I don't think that there are votes on the right to block von der Leyen, although there was an anecdote that Giorgia Meloni, leader of the Brothers of Italy, who is ruling in Rome quite to the satisfaction of the Italian people and has been popular on the international front. I believe she chaired the G7 in southern Italy recently and was a hit for everyone, including President Biden. All of that is no longer antithetical to the EU. You report quite correctly, this is not an anti-EU gang. This is a we can do better gang. So is there a motive for von der Leyen to pretend they're not in the room?
I think part of it is habit, and frankly, part of it is probably aesthetics. You know, I think that a lot of politicians and media types and technocratic types in the EU have persuaded themselves that these insurgent parties of the far right are the barbarians at the gates, and that there is something somehow deeply unappealing and xenophobic about wanting to get a grip on immigration, even though this is an issue of paramount concern to a lot of voters, that somehow it doesn't matter if people are worried about their jobs, that dealing with carbon emissions is more important. And so they think that the biggest threat to the European Union as it currently exists is these parties on the right. And maybe that was true once. There was a time when some of these parties were actually hostile to the European Union, wanted to pull their countries out of it, wanted to undermine the EU. But that's not precisely the case anymore because that isn't really what voters want. So these parties have been very responsive to voters who say, we want the EU, we want the euro as our currency, but we want it all to work better for us. Who is not responding to that message is old guard mainstream politicians like Ursula von der Leyen, who will pay lip service to the need to change and improve, but are not interested in actually doing that in the way that voters might want, because that kind of transformation would be very embarrassing to politicians who have staked their careers up to now on a set of policy and ideas that apparently are not popular.
Joe, there's a puzzle here, and I'm frequently asked questions that I don't quite ask. Every time one of these parties, for example, Alternative for Deutschland, is mentioned, they use the modifier far right. That does not happen anywhere close to the same way as it does on the left side of the equation. Is that a translation problem? Why is there far right versus left in Europe? What does that mean?
Again, I think a lot of this boils down to aesthetics more than what these parties actually believe. Now, you mentioned Alternative for Germany or AfD, which I think is in a special case. But in terms of most of these parties, it's more accurate to just describe them as the insurgent right instead of the far right, because a lot of the policy ideas that they espouse now are a mix of conventional low tax, modest economic reform, center-right ideas, or a kind of immigration restrictionism that, although, you know, the parties of the right, like America's Republicans, have sometimes been divided on immigration, the desire to control the borders is not outside of the mainstream. So Europeans are not voting for jackbooted fascists to march down the streets. That is not what's happening. These parties are winning because they have moderated themselves over the years and are trying to address issues that matter to voters, but in ways that were considered mainstream only 20 years ago. So you're absolutely right to zero in on this issue. Denigrating them as far right creates the excuse for politicians like Ursula von der Leyen to ignore them. But that's both misleading and probably politically very damaging and dangerous.
I think there's irony here. Let's see if I'm guessing correctly. Because the French election, the second round just concluded. There was a decision made by Emmanuel Macron, who called the election, and an alliance of the left parties to vote tactically, to withdraw the names of the candidates in constituencies where the votes would go to the left or votes would go to the center in order to defeat the right. That was the driving impulse. The result is that the National Rally is number three. The president's party, the centrists, so-called, are number two. And the far left, if I can be ironic, is number one, including a man named Mélenchon, whom I'm told is the Jeremy Corbyn of France. Now, that has to be the strangest result of fear of the right that I can imagine at the moment. Is anybody laughing, Joe?
Oh, I'm sure a lot of people are laughing, and particularly laughing at Emmanuel Macron for this result, because as you have suggested in that question, one of the nonsensical things about it is that if Emmanuel Macron actually cared about his economic reform agenda, he might have been tempted to make common cause with Marine Le Pen and the National Rally, because her party had mainly made its peace with a lot of his signature reforms like the labor reform and even this controversial pension reform that he did. So in order to squeeze her out, predominantly for aesthetic reasons, so far as I can tell, because it feels icky to make common cause with a party that appeals to those rural working class voters, Macron has sort of climbed into bed with a bunch of politicians on the far left who are going to spend most of their time harassing him and trying to reverse all of the good things that he's managed to do as president so far. This is a real problem that Europe increasingly is going to have because people can't admit that some of these parties are essentially mainstream now. You end up pushing yourself into these nonsense results. And note that the National Rally, I think if you look at the vote tally, is still the most popular party in France. They came third in terms of the seats in the assembly because they're still mastering the art of playing the political, you know, the electoral system so that you can convert support into actual seats in the first past the post system. But that popularity is not going away.
We move to another election just done that requires a lot of discernment. And that's why I'm glad Joe's in London, because from this distance, I can't quite tell what's happened. But the Labour Party that was on the outs in December of 2019 is so far in, it's supreme in London right now with more than 400 seats. When we come back, Sir Keir Starmer, the leader of Labour, and what it means. This is CBS High in the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.